Good morning again. And welcome. Welcome to Janice and Katie. I know you guys are out this weekend for your, is it the Volk family reunion? So how's it going? Is it over today? Yeah. That's good. At least you had a nice weekend. And also welcome to all of those who are listening through the internet. This morning, I'm going to teach on something that we all very well know, or if you don't, at least you should. But I really do believe that if there's ever been a message that we need to revisit and remind ourselves of, it would be this one today. So to begin with this morning, I want us to open up our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, and I want us to go to chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7. We're going to pick it up in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Or rather, the word rather, if you want to break it down, it's the word melon or melon. In the Greek, it means more or in a greater degree. So how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be in a greater degree more glorious? Verse 7, let's back up again, tells us that the law or the ministration of death written and engraved on stones. What was written and engraved on stones? What was the only thing God wrote on stone, Emily? The Ten Commandments, thank you. The law were written and engraved on stone. And it tells us that if this ministration was glorious, how much more or how much rather is the ministration of the Spirit more glorious? Now, notice in verse 7 that the Ten Commandments, written and engraved on stones, is called the ministry of what? Louder, I want to hear that. Death. The ministry of the Ten Commandments is called here by the Apostle Paul the ministry of death. You think of that for a minute. And yet today we still have people that are fighting to get the Ten Commandments into the schools. We're fighting to bring back the Ten Commandments. It's called the ministry of death. We have series that teach on the Ten Commandments. You know, this is a very serious thing. We are giving the ministry of death from the pulpit. So it says, if the ministration of death was glorious, how much rather more glorious is the ministration of the Spirit of life? Now, let me ask another question. How do the Ten Commandments minister death? How do they do that? Like, the Ten Commandments are holy, they're good, and they're just. They're of God. But how do they become death to you? How do they minister death to you? You need to understand this. Because we cannot keep the law. There's not one person that is justified in the sight of God by the law. Why? Because no man can keep the law. We have all fallen short. We've all sinned and broken the law, and we all deserve death. So how does it bring death? How does the law cause death in your life, Tanis? In a natural, in a very practical way. Condemnation. Condemnation kills. but the Spirit gives life. What am I talking about? That means that when you miss the mark, when you, if you're under the law and you break the law, what happens to your conscience? You feel guilty. You feel awful. Remember last week we talked on guilt, or was it the week before? And I said, your conscience is not the good guy. It's your conscience that's destroying you. So the law brings out condemnation. Now, is it God that's condemning us? No, our own hearts condemn us. And the Bible says that condemnation kills. If you walk around with condemnation always in your heart, it will affect you in every area. It'll affect you eventually, your body, until you die. And so condemnation is also referred to as the ministry of death. So the ministry, this ministry is glorious. How much more the glorious of the ministry of the Spirit of life. Now let's drop down to verse 17, because this is where I really want to go this morning. Now verse 17 tells us this, that the Lord is that Spirit. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of life. And where that Spirit is, there is liberty. Where that Spirit is, there is liberty. So, first of all, I want to ask us in this room, how many of us here today have that Spirit? Adam, you're not sure? Adam, do you have that Spirit? Yes, you do. If you have Jesus, for he is, it just says, the Lord is that Spirit. So do you have Jesus? Yes, you do. If you have Jesus, you have that Spirit. He who has that Spirit, where that Spirit is, okay, let me ask you, where is the Spirit if you have him? In here, in our hearts. If you have that Spirit in you, then it tells you, there is liberty. You have liberty. Freedom is there, or liberty, freedom, the same word. So, he is in us, in you, he's in me. Therefore, wherever you are, he is. He will never leave you, the Bible says. He'll never forsake you. So what does that tell us? That we are forever free. We need a hooting and a hollering here. We are forever free. But you know why we're not hooting and hollering? Because we don't know what we're free from, most of us. Amen? So the Bible tells us in Romans 8:21 that this is a glorious liberty. One that you and I haven't even begun to see a little bit of the glory that this liberty is. Now, the word liberty, I looked it up, and it actually means to be unrestrained. You know, it doesn't say freedom. It says unrestrained, because freedom is unrestrained. Unrestrained, continuous or continual flow. Liberty, freedom is a continual flow. What stops you dead in your tracks? Condemnation. Now, the reason I'm going to this message today is because I really believe that you and I need to remind ourselves every day that Christ has set us free. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus said in chapter 8, you will know the truth, and the knowledge of this truth will set you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, before we go any further and really go where I want to go today, what are we free from? Emily, do you know what you're free from? When Jesus said, I set you free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we should be dancing around the room and, you know, shaking banners and getting all excited about that. But like I said, do we really know what we're free from? Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's go back there. Or let's fast forward to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. What's that telling us? That means that if you're under the law and you're trying to keep the law, if you break one law out of the 10, You're guilty of all. And the curse comes upon you because the penalty of breaking God's law or breaking God's one of God's Ten Commandments is the curse. Right? That's what the Bible teaches us. So everyone that continues not, if you say you're going to live by the law and you do not continue in all things which are written, in other words, you have to keep it right to the T, then if you do not do that, you will come under the curse. Why? God is trying to prove that no man is justified by the law or through the law. I'm reading from verse 11. In the sight of God, it is evident, for the just will live by faith. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith. The law has nothing to do with faith, but the man that wants to live in them shall do so, right? It says, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, if you want to be a part of the law, that's your choice. But it will not justify you. Christ, verse 13 is where we're going, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We're just talking about the ministration of the Spirit of life. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us, that we might be set free unto the Spirit of life and not unto the curse of the law. Now, for those of us who do not understand what the curse really is, when you think of the curse first came into the earth because of man's sin back in the garden. God wanted man to increase. The curse is the opposite. Everything, I've explained this to us before, the curse is when everything is on its way out, right? When something's cursed, that means it's passing away, it's dying. And everything around us is under the curse. We've talked about that. The whole universe is under a curse. Everything is on its way out. Even when you're born, as the days go by, you begin to deteriorate. The curse is taking over. There's a curse on the earth. Jesus has delivered you from that curse. Now, a lot of people believe that they're just talking about the curse of spiritual death. But the curse really is death. Jesus Christ died your death. He died as you to reverse the curse that's on your life. And now, we just read, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you through Jesus Christ. Now, you can go back and you can read all about the blessings of Abraham if you want to find out how blessed you and I should be. But my point today is if we really, really continue to look in, we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you turn to on my Bible, it's the next page. I'm so used to seeing 18 on the next page, that if you turn to verse 18, it says, as we behold in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into more and more into his image. What is the image of Jesus? Is he bound? No, he's free. And our freedom, as we see him as he is, we begin to become like what we see in him. So we are free from every curse. And people say, well, we're going to die. Everybody dies. And it says that physical death will be the last enemy to be put underfoot. But do you know that your body already died? You already died completely? And the only reason, Kelly, the Bible says the body is dead because of sin. The only reason you're sitting in that chair there is because your spirit is alive. Because of the Spirit of life. So there is no fear in death. And we've been delivered from the powers of darkness who had the dominion of death. Jesus put them under. He took back the power of death from the enemy. And he died our death. And now he's given you eternal life. And he set you free from every curse. Every curse. I don't care if it's a curse in your body, in your mind, I mean, there can't be a curse in your heart because you're one spirit with the Lord right now. If you're born again and you have Jesus there, you can't be cursed in your spirit man. It's impossible. Curse doesn't live with Jesus. But my point is this, as we walk in this life every day, we see the curse all around us. It's a natural process. We call it nature. It's natural in the spring for the flowers to come up and to bud and to do all that. And as the summer goes on and as the heat comes, it's natural for the flowers to begin to fade and dry up. And we expect that. But do you know that that's part of the curse? Anything that causes any, that's why when we get to heaven someday, the flowers are absolutely, everything is so alive with life. It's teeming with life. Did you know that that life is in you? The spirit of that life is in you. And that life will quicken, the Bible says in Romans, your short-lived, perishable, mortal bodies. So, the curse that we've been delivered from, and because of the sake of time, we're not going to go back, but if you have time this week, go back and read all of the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you will see, because this is the curse of the law. In other words, if you are under the law and you break one of God's laws, you can expect this curse to come upon you. But because Jesus fulfilled the law for us, we are set free from the curse. We have nothing no more to do with the law. We are the blessed forever. How many of us every day are continually, constantly reminding ourselves of that truth? No, we're so caught up and used to the natural things around us that are cursed. We don't stop to think that, you know what, I'm delivered from that curse. I don't have to have this. I've got the spirit of life in me. And we need to remind ourselves every day of the promises of God. And the problem is not that many Christians even understand what they're free from. So not it's by the knowing of the truth that'll set you free. It's not just the truth. It is the truth, but you got to know that truth. And then you got to walk in the light of it in order to see it happen. And not that many around us do this. And so it's bizarre to think that you can live on a level that's different than the rest of the world around you. But the Bible does say you're in this world, but you're not of this world, Tanis. You shouldn't be living like the rest of the world. Your life should be different. Why? Because you have the spirit of life in you, Tanis. And when you see death, you can speak life to that death. It's in your hand. It's in your hand. So when God first gave the law, let's go back and talk more about the law. When God first instituted the law, why do you think at the same time he instituted the sacrifices? It was never intent for man, for God's people to live under the law. Thank God for the sacrifices. Because without them, they would have all perished. The curse would have overcome all of them. Because nobody could keep the law. Even way back when the law was first given, God instituted sacrifices, the killing of bulls and goats, Emily, because the Bible says where there's no blood, there's no remission of sin. So something had to die to pay the price for the sin of man or for not keeping God's law. So he instituted sacrifices. And these sacrifices, they'd have to bring once a year. Tanis, you'd go once a year to the temple, and you'd bring your whatever you could afford at that time. Some people couldn't afford more than two pigeons, but you had to go once a year to offer up a sacrifice to make atonement for your sins, for your and your home. Well, of course, your husband would go with you, and so you'd bring the sacrifice for your whole family. Now, when you left that place, it was party time. You were free for 1 year. During that year, Tanis, it did not matter. You knew this. Even if you did not keep the whole law, you broke the law, the curse could not alight on you. Why? Because the blood of your sacrifice that you brought to the high priest that once a year is good for 1 year. So it was party time. And they didn't have a guilty, their conscience didn't bother them until the year was up. And then they had to go and they had to pick out another sacrifice and go again. But how many of us know the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus one time offered himself up as a perfect sacrifice for sin for all time. And now there remains no more offering for sin. None. Your sins are done away with in the blood of Christ once and forever. Therefore, we can live in the blessing of God without condemnation. In the offering of the body and blood of our Savior, you and I were set free from the curse. Jesus Christ became the curse. I believe that's why when he hung on the cross, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 52 that you could not recognize him. He did not look human. He did not look human. He took upon himself every curse. You think of every curse, even just physical curses, and then other curses, mental curses. It was all in the body of Jesus. And you wouldn't have recognized him as a man, as even human. That's how deformed he was. So Jesus at the cross, he redeemed us by becoming the curse that our breaking of the law deserved. Like when you broke the law, it was the curse that was supposed to be yours. And he fulfilled the law and he took all of the curses that your sins and my sins deserved. And not just yours and mine, but even if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, there's still going to be people born. He took their sins too. Thank goodness that he could reach forward in time, right? Because he was 2,000 years ago, he died. And so it can't be just for the people of that time. It was for all of mankind. He once and for all put these sins down. They're done. Cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. So that why? The blessing of Abraham might come on you and on me, and we could receive the promise of the Spirit of life. How? Through our faith. Through our faith. Now, if you recall, we just read that the law is the ministry of death. The law is it ministers death to you. We may not understand how it all works, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And so we know we don't want to die. So we stay away from this. The law is the ministry of death. But the Spirit, the Bible tells us, is the ministry of life. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, the curse. So, we are set free from the curse of death. Now, most Christians think this just means your spirit, that we have eternal life in our spirit. Many of us do. We don't look, therefore we don't look for anything else. We don't believe for anything else. We settle. Well, I know someday I'm going to die and my spirit was going to go home. I have no doubt that my spirit is saved from death, that it is alive, and together with Christ, I'm saved. But what about the rest? And you might think it's not a big deal in this life to, oh well, as long as I'm going to, in the sweet by and by, I'm going to make it home. It matters not. It does matter. It matters to God as much as it should matter to you. Jesus paid a dear price to set you free from the curse. Why would we throw it back at him? You know, when someone goes out and spends a lot of time and effort doing something for you, and you take it and you throw it in the closet and never use it, that is despising the gift. That is making little, making small of something Jesus paid a big price for. So we're delivered from the curse. We need to remind ourselves of that every day. And know we have the Spirit of life. We have the Spirit. God is not going to force the Spirit of life on you. He is not going to force his blessings on you. It is up to you and I to take them freely. And you know, thank God we're free from spiritual death. And so if there's some in here that believe only that, that's better than not believing anything at all. But I know, and you know through the scriptures, it's so much greater than just being saved from spiritual death. So we are redeemed from the whole penalty or the whole curse of the law, the penalty for breaking God's laws. So if we want to sum up what the curse is, we can look at it in the light of death, right? On the light of death. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We are risen with him. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. In our lives, we should be going, what does the Bible say? We are getting more and more and more and more alive every day. Under the curse, you get more and more and more and more dead every day. We should see more and more and more energy in our lives. We should see more and more and more and more joy. That's the way it should be, but it's not, is it? I know it's, I'm honest. I'm not saying I'm living it though. Even the Apostle Paul said, I haven't attained to the resurrection of Christ yet, but I press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he was pressing on for, was the resurrection of Christ, even while he's in this body. Because the resurrection of Christ, the life of Christ is in you, even while you're in the body. And you can walk in the blessing. And you can grow in life. Just like in the world, you're growing in the curse. It's easy to believe in the curse. It's all around us. It's nature. It's natural. And that's why the Bible says the way is narrow that leads to this life. Because everybody is going against you and you're trying to push on this way, Tanis. And they're saying, Tanis, no, Tanis, you're losing your mind. Just turn around and come with the rest of us so we all can fall over the edge. I'm teasing. But you know what I'm saying? It's tough. It's tough to have this mindset of life and life only when everyone around you speaks the curse, speaks gloom and doom. And well, you know, Lorelai, you're at the age now where, you know, you ain't no spring chicken anymore. You know? And it's true. It's the talk of the world. It's the talk of the world. Or maybe to do with children. Well, you know, it's only natural that children, when they're a certain age, they go through a rebellious period. No, it's not. It's not going to happen in my life. I'm blessed. My children are blessed. The fruit of my body is blessed. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. My land is blessed. My garden's blessed. Everything around me is blessed. Don't let anybody curse what God has blessed in your life. And especially you. Don't curse what God has, don't take the curse that God has set you free from and begin to use it in your own life. And that's what we do. All of us do it. It's so easy to just go with the flow. Unless you are constantly reminding yourself that I am free from that curse, we will all just flow along with, because it's the easy way, right? So we're redeemed from the curse of death in all areas. So we see it at work around us, and we forget easily that we are delivered from this curse. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, right after Galatians chapter 3, where we read that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the law, we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that you and I must stand fast in this liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Now, the word stand means to persevere. Remember, persevere. And the word fast means to retain. What does it mean to retain something? To keep it. To keep it in your memory, keep it in your heart. You retain this. You hold fast to it. Or to possess it means. Freedom from this curse does not just automatically happen because you came to Jesus and Jesus came to live in you. How many of us can attest to that and say, amen? It does not just automatically. In other words, it's not natural. It's not of nature. It's of the Spirit. And the Spirit works very differently than nature. But the Spirit is more powerful. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. The life that's in you, Tanis, is much more powerful than the darkness and the death and the curse that's all around you. What does the Bible say? That light came into the world and the darkness could not put it out. It could not comprehend it. In other words, if it's dark and you light a match, one little light, and all the darkness flees. That's the power we have on the inside, the power of life. But you must retain it. You must possess it. You must hold on to this liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. So it doesn't automatically just come. How is it that we are set free from the curse in our lives? How is it that we walk free? It is by faith. Simply by faith. But you know, Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." I want you to meditate on those words this week. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Not maybe, might be free, or geez, I'm not really sure if this is part of the curse. You ever ask yourself that question? I wonder if this is part of the curse. I wonder if I can believe God to be free of this. And then you question it. Anything that brings death into your life. You see, it's not a matter anymore. Under the law, it was always about good and evil, good and bad. It is not anymore. In the new covenant, the question is always, does it bring life or does it bring death? Is it going to bring a curse into my life? And because sometimes what under the law might have been right, in the new covenant, is only going to bring death. And so you got to use wisdom. So you ask yourself the question, does this bring life to me or death? If it's bringing life, it's a blessing. If it's bringing death, it's part of the curse. You're set free from it. So that's the question you need to ask yourself. Is this giving me life? Or is, you turn on the TV, you might watch something, you might be doing something that you enjoy, you might be visiting people that, and you know, they're spewing out death, like, oh, you know, this and that. And you got to ask yourself, is this bringing me life or is this bringing me death? Am I leaving there feeling like, oh boy, I guess this is just natural that I'm going to, you know, maybe have the arthritis that so-and-so has down the street because, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? What is bringing us life? What is bringing us death? What are you looking at? Remember, as we look at and behold him, we are transformed into his image. You are going to be transformed into whatever you're looking at. That's what the Bible teaches. So it's not a natural process. Now, I know that most of us sitting here today have heard this word before. This is not, I'm not sharing anything with you today that you haven't heard me say before. And we quote the passage of Scripture, Galatians 3:13, all the time. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on me, who is a Gentile, by faith through Jesus Christ. But do I really believe those words? Do I really believe that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law? Does anybody in this room really believe it? Why do we not pursue to attain this freedom? I want us to turn in closing this morning before we have communion. I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 13. And I want to just take a look at Scripture, because you always know in the Old Testament, it's shadows and types of here today. What they went through, you know what? One thing I've noticed about people, nothing changes. People are the same from one generation to another. Did you notice that? I mean, they live with different outward, you know, they maybe lived with different things. You know, of course, now we're into the computers. Well, 100 years ago, there was no such thing as a computer. But people in general have not changed. Why? Because we're all made the same. We're all subject to the same devil who's been here the whole time, and he works the same in your life, Tanis. Don't ever think he works differently in you than he does in me. So people have not changed. So I want to go back to the very beginning when God first delivered the people, his people. They were in bondage. The Bible says we were in bondage under the law. We were slaves to the law, making us slaves to sin. And God, through Christ, has delivered us at the cross by setting us free. So I want to go back and I want to look at a picture and a shadow and a type of us being set free from the curse, from this bondage, because the curse is bondage, amen? And I want to just see what we can see from what happened back then and try to bring it into our life and say, you know what? I want to do that and I don't want to do that. Amen. So let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 13. And like I said, here we see God leading the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. And this is a picture of God leading us out of the bondage of sin into righteousness, into his blessing. So let's go to Exodus chapter 13. And I want to pick it up in verse 17, please. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go. Now Pharaoh, of course, was at that time, had the people in, he was the king of the land who had God's people in slavery. So Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. How many of us have been set free and we return back to bondage? How many times does that happen? It's like the story of the elephant. When you take a little elephant and you tie that little chain around his leg, and when they raise them for circuses and so on, and they put a stake in the ground, and when the elephant is just a baby, he tries and he tries and he tries and he tries, and he just cannot get free. He just can't. And so, but what the elephant doesn't realize is that as he grows up, that little chain, I mean, it would just take one little snap of his foot, but do you know that he will never, ever try again? His mentality is that he is chained forever. And sometimes that's how it is with us. We are in bondage, and when God sets us free, in our minds, we just can't fathom this freedom. And so we go back. We go back to slavery, to bondage. So God did not lead the children to the land of the Philistines. Why? In case they became afraid because of the heavily armed Egyptian troops that were there. And repent, the Bible says, or change their minds and go back. Did you know that sometimes we turn around, we repent, we change our mind and go back after we're set free? You know why? God's people would rather stay in the safety of dead religion. There's safety in dead religion, did you know that? Than to venture out when you don't know what's ahead of you. And you got to trust God every step of the way. And not only that, you left everybody else back there. You're the only one out there venturing around in the wilderness. And so people would rather stay in the comfort of dead religion than to stand up and to go free into the promised land or to go into the wilderness. What's the biggest reason? God's people would rather stay in the safety of dead religion than venture out where there is persecution. You see in the guards that were standing, those people, God. But this is just a picture of God leading them away from that because he knew they're going to get scared and run back to Egypt. People are funny. They get into a rut. They get into a comfort zone and they want to go back there even though something much greater is ahead. And we're like that. All of us are like that to a certain extent. Verse 14, after Pharaoh has finally let all of God's people go, it says in chapter 14, verse 5, it says that the heart of Pharaoh and all of his servants was turned against the Israelites, and they said, why have we done this and let Israel go from serving us? So Pharaoh made ready all of his servants, and he pursued after the children of Israel. In verse 8, how many times in our lives do we feel like the curse is chasing us? I mean, we could feel it at our backs. Curse of all kinds of things. Come on, and we're on the run. And that thing seems like it's about, the minute we stop and turn around, it's on top of us. And this is exactly a picture of what happened here. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt with a great salvation, so to speak. I mean, there wasn't one feeble among them, even the old men and women, and there was millions of people. They had riches and gold, and I mean, there was nothing they didn't have. And they're now in on their way to the promised land, and the old curse or bondage or sin or whatever is now chasing them. And they are just absolutely upset. They can feel it at their backs. And how many times in our own lives, we know we're supposed to be free, but the curse seems to be hunting us down a lot more than the blessing. Anybody ever been there where it seems like weekly, it's like, I'm supposed to be blessed. It seems like the curse is very actively pursuing me. Well, you know what? You're not alone. You're not alone because all of us put up with the same thing. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near to the children of Israel, lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were right behind them, and they were afraid, and they cried to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was there no graves in Egypt that you had taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Why did you take us out of Egypt? Sometimes that's how we feel. God, I was better off way back there before I even knew you. These things didn't bother me. Now, God, why did you do this to me? I was happy. Why did you shake my life? Is not this word we told you in Egypt saying, verse 12, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for that it would have been better than for us to die in the wilderness? You know, many times when we're in the middle of a battle, we look back. And you know what? It's easier to just go back there and settle. It is. And how many times we do that? We push and we push and we push. We can't seem to get any headway. It seems like the curse just doesn't want to. And so you know what we do? We think, oh, the heck with it. I'm going to live with it. Everybody else does. Come on, it's true. We give up. There comes a time and a point we give up. We give up to the enemy. You know, it's easier to trust in your own flesh than it is. And that's why they said, wouldn't it have been better if we'd have just went back, or if we just left us there serving the Egyptians? You see, it was all in the flesh. As long as they, it was like the law. As long as they did what they were supposed to do as slaves, they were fed, they had roofs over their heads. As long as you walk in the law, you know what to expect. And so it's hard for us sometimes to get out of that and just trust God completely, not knowing what to expect. And so we want to stay there again in our comfort zones. We don't want to pursue the freedom from the curse. In other words, you're trusting more in your flesh than you are in God to look after you. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will not see them ever again, no more forever. Now, Moses says, don't be afraid, stand still. In other words, I looked up the word stand and I looked up the word still. It means there again, to continue to persevere, continue to stand and trust in God. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Very interesting statement. And you will hold your peace. Now, the enemy is attacking you. The curse is about to pounce on you. You know in your heart, you know through the word of God, you're set free. What is Moses telling them? Hold your peace. That's their job. Don't be afraid. Stand still and hold your peace. What does hold your peace mean? Zip it. That's exactly what it means. In other words, shut up. You know why? Because they were murmuring and complaining. Moses, why did you bring us out here? It would have been better if we'd have died back there. Now we're just going to die in the wilderness. We won't even have a nice funeral. And Moses said, stop being afraid. Stand still. In other words, stand your ground and shut up. Sometimes we need somebody to tell us to shut up. I have lots of duct tape in my house. I always say we duct tape everybody up. So in other words, be quiet. Why be quiet? Let God work. Be still and know that I am God. The more we complain and try to get something to happen on our own and are afraid, to the point where we're going to turn around and go back, God can do nothing. But when you quietly, you don't speak the curse, you don't even mention it, your mouth is sealed. In quietness, the Bible says, would be your strength. The reason the curse comes upon you is because you're weak. You're not strong. Where is strength found? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In quietness, in silence, will be your strength. God's ways are different than our ways. Hold your ground. Retain. Stand your ground. That victory of the blessing, the curse has been, it's done in your life. It has no power over you. So don't speak the curse. First of all, close your mouth. Don't be afraid, and you will see the salvation of your God. You will see the blessing versus the curse. Second Peter 2:20, let's close there, tells us that dealing with the same thing, the apostle Peter says, do not be, I better go there so I don't misquote it. 2:20 says this. If after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, remember it's the knowledge of the truth that's going to set you free. Once you have escaped the curse and all of the things that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you, it says here, through the knowledge of Jesus, and then you are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Why is that? Why is the latter end worse than the beginning? Because now you have law and grace. You had grace. You heard the truth. But then you went back to the law, and now you got both. It's like, I've said this before, it's like just having enough of the real thing to keep you from getting the real thing. It's like a vaccination. You mix law and grace, you have nothing. You're neither under the law, nor are you getting the blessings under grace. And the reason the Apostle Peter writes this scripture is if you back up to verse 15, it says, which have forsaken the right way. What is to forsake the right way? And gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Can you tell me what is the way of Balaam? Remember Balaam, who was hired to curse the children of Israel? And he couldn't curse them? And the king said, I hired you to curse. And so he gets up on a mountain and he says, okay, curse them for me. And out of his mouth pours out blessings. And the king goes, I told you to curse them. Oh, let's try another mountain. So then they went to, I'm not even sure, I'd have to go back and read the account. How many mountains did they go to? And the same thing happened. And here it says, do not go in the way of Balaam. Do not go or forsake the right way. Balaam actually believed that he could curse the children of God. He could curse what God had blessed. You see, the curse has been released off of your life. You are set free. Do not forsake, do not go in the wrong way and actually think that God is going to curse what he has blessed. He has delivered us from the curse. Don't take the wrong way. Don't believe that, because your latter end is going to be worse than the beginning. In other words, you start mixing law and grace, because under the law, God did curse. The curse did come upon you if you broke the law. But you cannot mix law and grace. They're totally different covenants. You need to be under grace. So don't forsake the right way, which is the spirit of life. And do not become entangled again with, what did we just read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1? Stand fast in this liberty wherewith you've been set free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Here it uses the same words. Do not be entangled. In verse 20, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter is worse than the beginning. Don't mix law and grace. God has blessed us. The curse has been removed from our lives. and don't get it mixed up. Don't get it mixed up and try to combine the two. Amen. We're going to close in having communion this morning. And as we partake of the Lord's table, yeah, you can come up.